Ladies and gentlemen, a very good morning. My name is Inba, and I'll be moderating today's session. Welcome to Fractal's Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. All participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after management's remarks. Please note that this call is being recorded. I will now hand over the call to Svetlana Joshi from Fractal's Investor Relations team. Thank you, and over to you, Svetlana.
Thank you, Inba. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We'll be discussing Fractal's performance for the first quarter of FY27, which ended on June 30, 2026. Our results, investor presentation, and fact sheet have been filed with the exchanges and are available on our investor relations website. Joining me on the call today are Srikanth Velamakanni, co-founder and group CEO, Pranay Agrawal, co-founder and CEO, Ashwath Bhatt, chief financial officer, and Satish Raman, Chief Strategy Officer. Before we begin, please note that certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. These statements are based on our current expectations and are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially. Such statements or comments are not guarantees of future performance, and Fractal undertakes no obligation to update them. Please refer to the cautionary statements in our investor presentation and regulatory filings. Today, we'll hear from Srikanth on the business update, from Ashwath on the detailed financial performance, and then take questions. With that, let me hand it over to Srikanth.
Thank you, Svetlana. Good morning, everyone. Let's get straight into the quarter. Revenue for quarter one was 912.5 crores. Up 20% year-on-year. In constant currency terms, revenue growth was 9%. Here's how that breaks down by industry. Vertical-wise, our healthcare and life sciences business continued to be on the growth, to be a growth leader, growing at an exceptional 69% year-over-year. It is now our second largest industry vertical. Banking and financial services grew 36% year-over-year. CPG and retail, our largest vertical, grew at 19%. Our worst performance was in technology, media, and telecom vertical, which declined by 22% year over year, dragging down our headline growth this year. Two things are worth mentioning regarding the TMT vertical. Firstly, our overall growth excluding TMT would have been 37% year over year. Ideally, we would like to grow at that kind of pace overall. Secondly, the TMT performance is bottoming out, and we expect healthy sequential growth in TMT the next quarter. Let's look at geographically. Europe led revenue growth with 25%, where Americas were close behind with revenue growth of 24%. APAC and others were down by 2% year over year, largely impacted by the TMT industry issue, as well as the conflict in the Middle East. Now let's look at some of the other metrics. Here are three numbers underneath that matter as much, if not more. First, our net promoter score was 77 in Q1, up from 73 a year ago. Two, our net revenue retention was 117% in quarter one, up from 108% last year. Revenue from new clients contributed to 3% of revenue growth during the quarter, and 0% churn came from client base in Q1. Three, clients kept buying more from us over time. Here's what it looks like. Number one, the number of clients contributing to more than 20 million in TTM revenue was 5 in Q1, up from 4 at the same time last year. The number of clients contributing to more than 5 million in TTM revenue was 19 in Q1, up from 18 the same time last year. The number of clients contributing to more than 1 million in TTM revenue stood at 58 in Q1, up from 54 the same time last year. We are also de-risking as we deepen. Our top 10 clients contributed 51.8% of revenue in Q1, down from 55.9% a year ago. Now let's look at profitability. On profitability, Ashwath will go deeper, but here are some headlines. Net income grew 92% for the quarter to 72 crores. Our gross margin was 46% in Q1. Q1 adjusted EBITDA grew 35% on revenue growth of 20%. Q1 adjusted EBITDA reached 17%, up 189 basis points year over year. Set side by side with Q1 last year, adjusted EBITDA has moved from 15% to 17% and net income margin from 5% to roughly 8% in a single year. So those are the numbers behind this quarter. Here are three highlights I want to mention. First, this quarter, we won one of the largest single programs in Fractal's history. We're building the AI foundations for a large healthcare player and modernizing their data estate using AI. We'll share more details within a few days. Second, in July, we signed an MOU with Mumbai's Municipal Corporation, the BMC, to pilot Vaidya.ai, now also called as Cogentic Health, a healthcare AI platform across several of the city's public hospitals. It's a pilot for now. The BMC will evaluate it on staff training, citizen feedback, and doctor experience before deciding on a citywide rollout. If this pilot leads to a citywide rollout, it becomes a blueprint for other states and cities to follow. Third, momentum on our own platform. We have started AI-led transformation deals with Cogentic across CPG and financial services clients. This is very important for us and it's a great revenue engine that we expect will keep growing. So that's the quarter for now. Ashwath will take you through the financials in more depth. I'll come back and talk about demand and where this market is headed after that. Over to you, Ashwath.
Thank you, Srikanth, and good morning, everyone. Before I get into the details of our Q1 performance, a few highlights. In Q1 27, year over year, we expanded our margins meaningfully with gross margin at 46%, adjusted EBITDA at 17%, and net income at 8%. Q1 net income grew by 92% year over year to INR 72 crores or close to $28 million. Year over year, revenue grew by 21% in Fractal.ai. Of this 21% growth, 17% growth came from existing clients. The number of clients with $1 million plus revenue went up from 54 in Q1 of last year to 58 in Q1 of fiscal 27. Coming to the details of our performance, in Q1 27, our revenue from operations grew by 20% year over year and by 3% quarter over quarter to 912 crores or $97 million. On a constant currency basis, growth was 9% year over year and negative 0.4% quarter over quarter. As mentioned by Srikanth before, we had a robust year over year and quarter over quarter growth in HLS, BFSI and other industry verticals. Revenue contribution from must-win clients went up from 79% in Q1 fiscal 26 to 85% in the current quarter. To strengthen our AI for work and workforce pillar, we have integrated Ikigai and EdTech-related teams from Fractal AI into Analytics Vidya, and our segment numbers for fiscal 26 have been restated to reflect this change. Moving on to profitability, I will start with gross margin. We define gross margin as revenue from operations minus direct costs, which include both employee expenses and other direct expenses. Our Q1 27 gross margin expanded by 29 bps year over year to 45.7%. While weaker rupee drove 273 bps improvement, we had 75 bps of negative impact from annual merit increase and another 169 bps from increase in number of people to support future growth. Now moving to adjusted EBITDA. With revenue growth, operating leverage in SG&A continues to help us improve adjusted EBITDA margin. In Q1 27, SG&A as a percentage of revenue reduced from 26.2% to 24.3%, which drove up adjusted EBITDA margin by 189 bps year-on-year to 16.8%. Adjusted EBITDA was up 35% year-over-year. In Q1 27, we invested 61 crores into research and development, 31% higher than the previous year. out of the 61 crores, 41 crores or 4.5% of the revenue was expensed. R&D spends are mainly for building Cogentic, Asper, and Analytics Vidya. These investments have resulted in the following outcomes. Cogentic has seen early wins with more than 10 clients across industries. Asper's ARR has gone up by 59% to $9 million as of June 2026 versus the same period last year. Analytics Vidya revenue in Q1 27 has grown by 42% in dollar terms. Now I will move over to Fractal Alpha segment. Fractal Alpha segment includes Asper.ai and Analytics Vidya. On a like-to-like basis, Fractal Alpha revenue grew by 20% year-over-year in Q1 27. Analytics Vidya in that grew by 57% and Asper was flat. As mentioned before, Asper's ARR grew by 59% in dollar terms versus the same period last year. There is a time lag between signing of contracts and revenue. Hence, we expect the second half of fiscal year to be much stronger for Asper. Asper is being used by 20 clients in the CPG industry. The gross margin for quarter stood at 65% and segment loss was at 14 crores. Increased loss is largely due to the integration of Ikigai and EdTech teams from Fractal.ai segment into Fractal Analytics Vidya, as stated earlier. As the integrated unit scales, the operating leverage will materialize with better profitability. Now moving over to net income. In Q1 27, ESOP charges, including cash bonus linked to options and one-time retention bonus, declined to 1.2% of the revenue versus 1.4% of the revenue in the same period previous year. Talking about Cure.ai's performance, our share of loss went from 22 crores in Q1 fiscal 26 to 23 crores in Q1 fiscal 27. However, I'm happy to report Cure.ai's revenue has grown by 160% year over year in Q1 27 to INR 24 crores. Net income for Q1 27 for the whole group grew by 92% to INR 72 crores. Net income margin expanded by 296 basis points year over year to 7.9%. Excluding the loss of share of loss in the associate, net income for Q1 27 is at INR 95.7 crores or 10.5%. Diluted EPS is at INR 4.09, which is 78% higher than the same period in the previous year. Diluted EPS without share of loss of associate is at INR 5.39. We covered gross margin, we talked about EBITDA and net income. Now let's talk about cash. Our cash from operations was negative 103 crores because of the payment of variable pay for the previous fiscal year in Q1 27. Cash from operations is 20% better versus the same period in the previous year. DSO has improved by 2 days from 73 days in Q1 26, fiscal 26, to 71 days in Q1 fiscal 27. As of June 30, 2026, we had cash and cash equivalents, including mutual funds and fixed deposits of INR 1,639 crores or $173 million, including IPO proceeds of INR 689 crores. As mentioned in our previous earnings call, in April 2026, we fully repaid our long-term debt from IPO proceeds. In summary, we delivered 20% revenue growth, 35% adjusted EBITDA growth, and 92% net income growth. Before I hand back, this is my last earnings call with Fractal. It has been a privilege representing Fractal over this last 5.5 years. I would like to thank my incredible finance and legal team, Srikant and Pranay, our executive team, especially Satish, with whom I have spent countless hours, 6,000 plus Fractalites, and our board of directors, signing off with innumerable memories and gratitude. Now back to you, Srikant.
Thank you, Ashwath. As Ashwat mentioned, this is Ashwat's last call with us. After 5.5 years as a CFO, he is moving on for personal reasons. Ashwat has stewarded Fractal through multiple material events like its IPO, acquisitions, fundraisers, and through a lot of quarters like this one, where the job was to explain the numbers honestly and let the story speak for itself. A lot of what's disciplined about how we report to you is because of him. Thank you, Ashwat. On behalf of everyone at Fractal and everyone on this call who's gotten to know you through these numbers, we wish you very, very well for whatever comes next. On the transition itself, we have made a ton of progress in identifying Ashwat's successor, and we'll share more details once we have completed the full process. Before we open it up for questions, I want to spend a couple of minutes on explaining to you where AI is headed right now. AI has become mainstream. It's part of the core budget in almost every large company we see today. However, the changes in AI are also creating enormous opportunities for companies like Fractal. Number one is trust. Companies want to make sure that they have control over the AI and the AI is doing exactly what they want and there's no gap between their expectations and the performance of AI. Especially, they want to make sure that their knowledge stays within the enterprise. This is an enormous opportunity for companies like Fractal. Secondly, companies have incredible amount of data assets, but the knowledge and the context of that comes from these data assets is critical for how the AI performs. And building that context layer and the knowledge layer and the ontological layer is an enormous opportunity for companies like Fractal again. Three, because of this enormous AI foundations that are being built in companies, companies will be able to transform not just a part of a process, but their entire workflow end-to-end with AI. This is a multi-trillion dollar opportunity. We've organized Fractal to make sure that we are able to address these opportunities like AI-led transformation, AI foundations, and AI to help you reimagine work and workforce. Now, AI is compressing work significantly as well. When AI compresses work, it means that the cost of running AI will come down. Not just the token costs, which are currently going out of hand, they will come down automatically in the next few quarters, but also the cost of building AI, cost of running AI, and cost of the entire process with AI will be, because labor costs will also be avoided, will come down dramatically. Now, the first order effect of this is to feel like maybe that means the revenue opportunity shrinks. In fact, it's quite the opposite, because companies are going to spend more and more on tech, and it will create enormous opportunities for companies like Fractal to not just reimagine every workflow with AI, build the foundation, but also to help companies reimagine their work and workforce with AI. Now, how companies buy also is changing. Partnerships decide who is even in the room for the biggest deals now. We have created some really solid partnership with companies like Databricks, OpenAI, and Anthropic. Five of our largest deals this quarter came through a partner. A year ago, AI was just an experimentation budget, spent in pockets. Today, it is the core budget. That's what we work with, and that's what Fractal was built for. So we feel our future is bright, and we have a long way to grow from here to the next level. With that, I will stop here and hand it over to you, Inba.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now move to the Q&A segment. To ensure we provide space for as many participants as possible, we request you to limit yourselves to 2 questions per turn. Participants connected on Zoom, we request you to please use the raise hand icon located at the bottom toolbar on your screen. When called upon, you will receive a prompt to unmute. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from Gaurav Rateria of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Best wishes to Ashwath for the future endeavors. It's always been a pleasure talking to you, interacting with you. I have a couple of questions. I'll just maybe, say them all in an order, and then you can answer as per your convenience. The first is around the visibility that you highlighted in the TMT vertical of healthy growth sequentially in 2Q. What drives that visibility? Is it from the same existing clients, or have you won certain new clients or new deals which drive that visibility? Second is the Cogentic pipeline. Really good to see the qualified pipeline number that you shared. Could you also highlight the nature of the deals, in terms of the kind of engagement, whether it is going to be more like a product-led kind of a deal, whether it is kind of having a services component? That would be helpful. And the last is that, from a visibility perspective, I understand that we start always small with the clients and then we scale up, and that reflects in your, multi-million dollar clients going up in numbers year after year. But at the same time, there has been a kind of volatility in the business, right? Maybe because the nature of the business is like you always start small and these are small engagements, and it can be volatile between the quarters. Is there anything to think about, like what can be done in order to, create more consistency and visibility? Or is it the nature of the business automatically will evolve with the larger engagements with AI related work, which automatically will provide more visibility? Thank you.
Thank you, Gaurav. So firstly, you're absolutely right that we are seeing the TMT issue bottoming out, and it's coming from new deals from existing clients. We have a pretty significant pipeline in that, and we know that our next quarter is going to look better because of what we already have in the bag. And that is mostly for newer deals from existing clients rather than completely new clients. And secondly, on your question around the Cogentic pipeline and Cogentic deals, we see these as product-led. Most of these revenues are product-led. There could be some FDE or implementation component to it in some ways, but these are completely product-led. We've built Cogentic for underwriting, which is seeing a pretty solid traction. We've built Cogentic for e-commerce, that's also seeing some really solid traction. And Cogentic as a platform being used to build is also seeing some traction as well. This is a very important part of our business, and we expect it to become significant. And as the value of building the ontological knowledge layer on data becomes very, very crucial, platforms like Cogentic are seeing a lot of interest from clients because these are built for the enterprise. They can use a multiple set of models. And like you've seen, people really want to control their outcomes inside the organization, regardless of whether they have or lose model access. So that creates a very large opportunity for companies and products like Cogentic. So that's really on the second one. And third, on how business evolves from here, certainly the deal sizes are going up. We are seeing some changes in dynamic. Number one, certainly there is competition and there is RFPs. So there are much larger RFPs coming through right now than we have seen in the past. And the size of the deals are bigger, and the ambition of what they want to get done are also much larger. And as Fractal becomes more public, becomes more visible, and has a phenomenal track record behind us, we become very capable of addressing those very large, much larger deals that come through. Now, you've not seen that yet in the numbers, but I expect that we will see them in the numbers in the coming few years. And secondly, on the volatility part, one has to sort of also understand that the shape of demand is dramatically changing. And this is the largest opportunity in front of us. There are some things that are expanding like crazy. Like there's an insatiable appetite for helping companies reimagine their workflow, building their AI foundations, and helping them reimagine their workforce with AI. Those are just growing very rapidly. But on top of that, any existing work, anything that feels like it's not as, relevant today than it was before, that could be completely vanishing as well. So things like ad hoc analysis, building dashboards, these are the kinds of things that are going to go to zero anytime soon, right? So if not already zero. So that there is demand that will be vanishing as well, which will be a much smaller component, but it will go. And the third thing is that if the kind of work that we do, which is really interesting and important, can also be done faster, quicker, and cheaper, which means that that overall work can shrink in terms of compression. So we will see compression. Everyone will see compression. Everyone will see some work vanishing. But the work that is coming through is so huge that it more than makes up for that. So that's really the way to process the change. There will be some changes in deal by deal, because there's something that we may be doing which is not relevant today in a much more AI first world where things are much easier to do. So something that we would have taken a year to do could be done in a month, which means that per se looks like it shrunk. But there are now 1,000 such deals rather than 10 such deals earlier. So that's the kind of way in which we have to process this change overall.
Well, it's quite ironical, right, that the deal sizes are also increasing, but the kind of engagements that are coming our way is also of the nature where the work can be done much faster and better, which yes. also creates larger workflow, but probably a smaller kind of work to be done in the beginning. Thank you really, for your detailed answers and elaborate explanation. Very helpful. All the best for future.
Thank you, Gaurav.
Thanks, Gaurav.
Thank you. Our next question is from Aditi Patil of ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the technology vertical. So, was there any unexpected client-specific issue which may have come up during the quarter apart from the ones which we had called out in the previous quarters? And on the annual wage increment, can you again explain, have we done the annual wage increment for FY27 in Q1? Or it was of previous year, which had some impact in Q1.
Yeah. Thank you, Aditi. Really appreciate this. Number one, on the TMT vertical, it's not that it was unexpected or something. One thing that we have told ourselves is that we are no longer going to talk about client-specific issues unless something very dramatic has happened. There are client-specific issues that happen all the time in every client relationship. And therefore, we have chosen to not talk about that in future because it is distracting. We have to sort of take more accountability for our own performance. So having said that, the quarter, TMT did have, it performed worse than we expected for sure. And we think that the worst is behind us. Now, TMT will start to look better, at least on a sequential basis, for the next quarter and thereon. On the second question was on the wage increase. It's been done. It's effective June 1st. So you're only seeing 1 month of impact on that in this quarter, April, May, June. But we have done the overall merit increases for the year as of June 1st. This is sort of slightly unexpected. Normally, we do it on April 1st. This year, we made it effective June 1st. But 1 month of that is already in play.
Okay, got it. Can you share a contribution of Cogentic revenue or how big you expect it to become by end of FY27?
Yes. So our overall license revenues are 3% of revenue. And we expect that to go north of that. We are seeing a lot of interest, but just remember that the deal sizes are much smaller when it comes to product revenue versus services revenue. and therefore using some of that it as a fraction of overall revenue, it's still at only 3%. We want it to go up. It will go up soon. Number one. Number two is that specifically within Cogentic, we are seeing a lot of pipeline and a lot of interest. We have to convert them significantly in order to make that a much larger part of the pie. What we are seeing is the need for something like that becomes stronger and stronger as the need for trusted AI where you are not completely dependent on a model becomes more important. And your organizational context, your organizational data, and the ontological layer becomes very, very crucial as well. In that context, when people are trying to reimagine their workflow, they need a platform that they can rely on, and Cogentic fits in really nicely with that. So we expect this to become even more crucial for clients in the coming few quarters. And what we are doing is, apart from building the Cogentic platform, which can help you solve any problem with and reimagine workflows with AI, we are building specific products on top of the Cogentic platform which go to a certain industry and solve a certain problem. For example, what we've done with Cogentic underwriting is it helps insurance companies underwrite better using Cogentic. And we are seeing a few clients sign up for that. Similarly, our Cogentic e-commerce product is helping companies reimagine how they grow their revenue with e-commerce. Similarly, we're doing it for supply chain. We're doing it for customer service and a few other places. And these are now, we have identified our top leaders to come and take charge of those products that are being built on Cogentic platform. And that build out has happened over the last year or so. And now we're beginning to see the rollout and some traction because of that. And so we expect this number to go up and become a more significant part of our revenue going forward. We will come back with a Cogentic revenue number every quarter, but we're just figuring this out exactly how to do. Cogentic revenue, license revenue, Cogentic revenue might have license revenue and some of the FD revenue. So exactly how we'll report it, we'll figure it out and come back to you next quarter with Cogentic revenue as well as the overall license revenue for Fractal.
Okay, got it. Thank you for answering my questions and all the best, Ashwath, for your future endeavors.
Thanks, Aditi.
Thank you. Our next question is from Pritesh Thakkar of PL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for taking my question. So I have a first question on the vertical front. Again, we have a weakness coming in on the TMT side of the vertical. At the same time, I'm seeing SLS growth has been decelerated if I look at over the last 2 to 3 quarters now. So how should we anticipate FY27 growth trajectory there, and which verticals would likely to contribute meaningfully to those growths?
Thank you. Pritesh, thank you. Now, firstly, yes, our growth rate in HLS is very impressive, but it is lower than the previous quarter what we reported to you. One thing I should mention is that the overall growth excluding TMT is 35%. And because of TMT, it's come down to 20 because TMT is showing negative growth. So as soon as the negative growth gets arrested, we will start to see the overall growth rate go up. So that's really the expectation that every other part of the business is growing nicely as of today. And if the TMT vertical solves for itself, it should address the overall growth and improve our overall growth rate in the coming few quarters.
And how we should anticipate, which vertical should contribute meaningfully to the growth for FY27?
So it will be across all verticals. We're seeing growth across. HLS will be a very important part of that. Banking and financial services continues to grow very nicely. And some of these places, we have also brought in new leaders. We have Leandro, who's taken on as the role of the chief practice officers for banking and financial services. We're also finding a new head of Europe who is, we are making some progress on that hire. And this new head of Europe also might help us expand our Europe growth even faster. Today, Europe is growing at 25%, and we expect that growth rate can be meaningfully accelerated with some additional new leadership that we hire. In a similar way, we are hiring new leaders in parts of the business where we feel like we have significant growth opportunities. But growth opportunities are across verticals. AI is not doing well in one industry or the other. It is creating opportunities in every vertical. It is our execution that has to improve so that we are growing across all verticals. So I will say that the opportunity exists across each and every vertical for Fractal. And as we execute better, we will see our growth rate pick up.
Mr. Thakkar, do you have any more questions?
Yes, I just had a question on the partnership that we called out in our PPT. We're calling out 42 TTM joint engagements. Are we also calling out the revenues that we are fetching out of this partnership?
Yeah, we do track the revenues that we generate through our partnerships with the most impressive foundation model companies, as well as some of the AI foundation layer companies that we work with. We look at that internally both in terms of what revenues are we originating because of our partnerships and what are the joint work that we do, either because we brought the deal to them or otherwise. We have not yet reported that to you, but we will consider bringing some of that information to you. Suffice to say that the overall partnership led revenue for Fractal has been small, and like I've said in the previous quarter also, it's a new muscle that we're building. As the market shifts to more partner-led kind of growth, and partners become very crucial to how companies are making their overall decisions, this is something that is a growth vertical for us. It is a growth vector for us. It was not a big part of our revenues overall. Most of our revenues used to come from direct client relationships. But what we are seeing is that these partnerships create a very nice window of additional growth, and it has become very strategic to us. So we are building out our partnership capabilities and overall partnership execution muscle, and you will see some of that coming through in the next few quarters.
Understood. And lastly, in the on the expense side, I heard Ashwath calling out we had integration cost this quarter, so which led the incremental cost to fall in this quarter. So what is that one-off cost? If I just want to understand.
Yeah, Srikanth, I'll take that. So, Pritesh, sorry, it is not really integration cost. What we have done is we have reclassed or restated our between the segments. Like we are building this product called Ikigai. It's going to be Cogentic Ikigai. From Fractal AI segment to Fractal Alpha segment under Analytics Vidya. So it is just movement of investments from one side of the segment to the other side, which has been, so we have restated last year to reflect the right numbers year on year. So it's not a one-time cost. It's an investment that we have been doing in Fractal AI side of the business, which has been moved over to now Fractal Alpha under Analytics Vidya. So hence you see higher investments in Fractal Alpha under Analytics Vidya. So hence the increased loss in Analytics Vidya. So as that Analytics Vidya, which is mainly AI for work and workforce, grows, and we have seen pretty good growth there, then the loss and the operating leverage will kick in and loss will go down. So it's not a one-time cost. It's a restatement of costs or investments from one side of the P&L to the other.
We also again this question on the merit cost that we incurred this quarter. Is it a full quarter cost that we incurred across company wide, or are we expecting any residual impact coming in quarter two?
We gave merit increases as of June 1st and across the company, so it was not limited to part of the company. It was for across the company. Obviously, since it was done effective June 1st, in the next quarter there will be 3 months impact. The 75 bips that I called out was gross margin related impact in Q1. At a full P&L level, it will be more close to 120 to 130 bips impact. So it's for 1 month in the first quarter. It will have, again, it's effective 1st of June, so it will have 3 months impact in the second quarter.
Mr. Tucker, we would request you to return to the queue. There are several participants waiting for their turn.
So thank you so much. And all the best to Ashwath. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Mohit Chandani from Ambit. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning and thank you for taking my questions. First question in terms of industry growth, any qualitative sense in terms of how you're seeing industry growth shape up? Because you did mention that, you know, while there could be some volume compression due to AI, that would be more than compensated for by the huge multiplication of use cases. So, I mean, is there any sort of slowdown in terms of the broader industry while volume compression works its way through, but the new use cases take time to show up? Or is industry growth still, say, possibly at high levels of 16-17% that was expected earlier?
See, I think overall the demand for AI-led problem solving, AI-led transformation is enormous. It's growing very fast. It is taking share from many other industries: management, consulting, market research, advertising, technology services, business process services. These are all getting, they're all being influenced by AI. So the total addressable market is increasing. So its growth rate, so tech companies are increasing their tech spends. They're going from 4.5% of revenue to maybe up to 6% of revenue if you look at the overall tech budgets. So that has its own momentum. But if you see the AI addressable part of that, it is dramatically changing. So from Fractal standpoint, the addressable spend that we can chase is just going up quite well. I think the key thing is how do we execute against that? Because it's not easy to execute well, because there's also many players who want a piece of this pie right now. Everybody is interested in this AI-led growth that's happening. So it is not that industry is not expanding. Industry is expanding dramatically. It is that it is also becoming more competitive. Therefore, our execution has to really get better as we to improve our growth. That's really the best way to think about this. I hope I've answered your question.
Got it. Yeah. Thank you. That was very helpful. The other question that I had was also, I mean, on this TMT decline, which we saw, was this again maybe an impact of the competitive intensity that you just mentioned? Or was this just, particular clients maybe pausing discretionary spends for their own reasons? Any specific reasons that you may want to call out?
Again, I do not want to get into blaming anyone for our performance, right? Just one way to think about that is that companies, if you look at the big tech firms that we serve, they're very impressive, very big companies, and they have been spending tremendously on AI capex. You've seen that their AI capex has gone up, almost doubled. So there is a lot of OPEX pressure when CAPEX is gone up by this much. Therefore, you're seeing big adjustments taking place in the TMT industry in terms of how they look at the overall spends and allocating more of that to CAPEX and less of that to OPEX. And some of that could be playing out in the way our performance is showing up in that vertical for now. Again, I don't know. The TAM is expanding there as well. So I think it's about how we address this and how we reimagine ourselves in order to become even more relevant to TMT. But there is definitely a massive shift happening in the way TMT companies think about their overall spends relative to other industries. And that could be playing some role. I will take most of the blame on our own execution, but there is some of that playing out as I explained. I hope that answers your question, Mois.
Yes. Thank you so much for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Om Kavadi of Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. Yeah, hi. Could you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Couple of questions. The first one is on TMT vertical. Sorry to pester on this. But just one clarification. When I look at number of clients beyond $20 million, it has come down sequentially from 6 to 5. I am assuming it is in the TMT vertical, but please clarify on that. And the connected question is, so when you look at this TMT vertical, you have indicated that things have bottomed out and you could see a good acceleration from second quarter is what I understand. So from that point of view, from the point you started this quarter, you would have thought about some outlook for the year, right? I'm not asking for the guidance, but from a qualitative point of view, that outlook for FY27, has it changed when you see at the end of this quarter, or broadly you feel because things are recovering, from a full year point of view, nothing would have changed drastically? Could you just comment on that? I would come back on the second question.
Yeah. So first, one second. What is it? I forgot your question.
That on 20
yeah,
million.
On the 20 million. Yes, that's right. Your guess is correct. The six, one of them, which was 20 million plus a TMT client, is now less than that. So therefore, that is what it is. And the only additional thing I'll add to that is that taking a full year view of this versus a TTM view of this, there could be some changes. Therefore, the best way to look at it is that at the end of this year, how many clients do we have to 20 million plus, and is that gone up from 6 to 7 or 6 or stayed at 6 or gone from 6 to 5? That is best seen on a year-over-year basis. But on a TTM basis, you're right. One client is slipped below the 20 million number, and that is part of the TMT vertical. So that is correct. And secondly, on the outlook for the year, certainly, our first quarter, we feel like we have certainly underachieved what we could have achieved. We will, part of this is also because what we have seen is that A, this demand is shape of the demand is shifting quite rapidly. Everything is changing at a very rapid pace. We are very competitive and very capable. And then yet we have to make sure that we move extremely fast to capture the enormous opportunity that's in front of us. So that execution is crucial to us. Part of the way we've done that execution is by reorganizing our own go-to-market, bringing it under a new chief commercial officer, Matt, and then building these AIT, AIF, and AIW vectors, AIT for AI-led transformation, AIF for AI foundations, and AI for work and workforce reimagination, AIW. And this change and bringing the new leaders and organizing ourselves to go to market much more rapidly is playing out as we speak. And once this whole thing settles down, we think that our growth rate will dramatically accelerate from there. So that's really how we are thinking of it. It is improving our execution in light of where the market opportunity is shifting. The opportunity is very, very huge. I'll reconfirm that it is completely left to our execution to become as big as we can be. There's no other law of gravity applying to us. We have an enormous opportunity in front of us. And as far as the outlook for the year is concerned, of course, our quarter one is not as great as we would like it to be. We hope that some of that will start to play, sort of get addressed in the coming quarters.
Yeah, sure. One other question is on the operating profitability front. So how would we see R&D spends as a percent of sales over the medium term? Is there a possibility that it would increase? And the second part of the question is, where are we in our journey in terms of increasing the mix of output / outcome / license? I believe that is roughly at around 40-odd%. So how are we seeing this number going in the next 1 or 2 years? Thank you.
Yes. So we are at 42 right now, that outcome, output, license, as well as license revenue is at 42, and 58 is the input-based pricing. So we are inching gradually forward on that number, and we want to get it to 60 overall over the next few quarters. So we are moving the right direction. What AI is also creating as an opportunity is to go and be very bold in looking at a process, reimagining the process, and doing it on an outcome basis, therefore crunching the overall budgets that are required to do so. We are seeing those are the output outcome-based deals, and we are seeing as Fractal's appetite to do such deals and capability to do such deals increases, we expect this number to substantially go up. Now, second question is on R&D as a fraction of sales. We have said that we will continue to increase R&D spends as a percentage of revenue, and we will take it to as much as 10% of revenue. But we've also been very clear that we will do it only on the back of expanded margins. As gross margins expand, part of that expanded gross margin we'll put into higher R&D. So that's really, we have set up a system by which we'll be pretty disciplined about that. And only expanded gross margins, a part of that will flow through to higher R&D spends the next quarter. So because of that system, we while R&D spends as a fraction of revenue might increase, it will happen only on the back of higher overall gross margins. And our gross margins are expanding. And therefore, we expect that we will be also be able to increase our overall R&D budgets in proportion to that. Now, last one I'll mention is that our R&D is getting more and more disciplined. And one of the things that we've done in this space of AI, what we are seeing is R&D to revenue conversion should be faster. It should not be slower. And that is a push that we are also saying, is that the enormous amount of R&D that we are doing should convert to revenues at a faster pace. Therefore, even with the R&D team, my conversation is that work backwards from revenue, right? Yes, R&D is super important, but you have to have revenue in mind and work backwards from revenue. And you'll see some of that alignment also kind of streamline and improve our overall R&D productivity as we go forward.
Mr. Tawadi, we would request you to please join.
I'm done with my questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Our next question is from Sushrit Patil of Eyesight FinTrade. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, Sushrit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. First of all, my name is Sukrut Patil.
Sukrut,
just beyond the regular outlook, what are the top two and three priorities you are focusing on the next few quarters? Along that, what do you see as the biggest risk in client adoption and industry competition, and how are you preparing to manage them while sustaining the company's competitive position in AI and analytics? That's my first question. I'll have a second question after this. Thank you.
Pranay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm sorry, could you please repeat the question once?
Beyond the regular outlook that you have given, I just want to understand what are the top two and three execution priorities you're focusing on in the next few quarters? And along that, what do you see as the biggest challenge in client adoption or industry competition? And how are you preparing to manage them while strengthening the company's competitive position in AI and analytics? Just a forward guidance on this.
Okay, excellent. Great. So firstly, we are approaching the market with a three-pronged strategy. One is AI-led business transformation. Second is AI foundations, and third is AI workforce transformation. The first really implies that we are building specific applications to solve key business problems or improve key business processes, which could be on the side of demand, supply, operations, and which really depend on the specific industry. But these drive your core metrics, whether that's revenue or profitability, customer retention, etc. To ensure that these applications, scale rapidly and securely at the scale of, Fortune 500 companies, this requires very robust foundations, and that implies strong data foundations, the ontology and knowledge layer, security layer, the orchestration layer, and the application layer. And the third is that ensuring that how does the workforce deploy and use this, and for that we do the AI workforce and workplace transformation, and again we are seeing a lot of traction in that. So continuing to enhance what we are building and deploying for our clients across these three areas, that's one of the core initiatives. The second big thing is around, as Shrikant mentioned, we are bringing in more leadership across industry verticals. And then the third, as Shrikant said, that the shape of the demand is changing quite rapidly, And that also has implications just operationally in the talent that we are bringing in and also the internal talent upgrade that we are doing to be able to meet this shape of demand.
My second question to Mr. Bhatt is, I know you're taking the exit, but just want to understand a forward guidance on what you think about this. From a financial point of view, what key risks or challenges do you anticipate in the coming quarters? And what specific measures are being taken to manage margins, cash flow, and balance sheet strength, especially in areas like data privacy compliance, cost pressures, or client payment cycles? Thank you.
Thanks, Rohit. So, I think in terms of the overall balance sheet, you know, balance sheet is in a pretty good shape. Our DSO has come down both year-on-year and even quarter-on-quarter to 71 days. And even within the 71 days, it's around 54 days is the billed AR because a lot of companies do report only billed AR. So that compares favorably to some of the industry benchmarks. So the balance sheet has been in good position. And again, our cash conversion to EBITDA of around 70% has also been in good condition. And in first quarter of the year, we always pay variable pay for the previous year. Hence, you see a negative cash flow. But otherwise, all the ratios there are ROC is close to 13%. So overall, the balance sheet is in a very good place. And we do hedge. Only take the forward cover for cash flow hedge. So that also, again, helps us with some of the cash flow management. So I don't think of any additional financial risk. And in terms of the data privacy and security related stuff, yeah, we do have, we take our obviously cybersecurity extremely seriously. We have invested a lot behind it. And recently we were again rated by Black Kite in the highest category in terms of cybersecurity. So that risk has been kind of addressed over the period of last 3 or 4 years, perhaps.
Mr. Patel, we request you to please return to the queue as several participants are waiting for their turn. We now move to our next question. That's from Anish Kanal of Vitanalis Capital Trust. Please go ahead. Anish, could you please ask your question?
Am I audible?
Yes.
Am I audible? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so my first, hi Srikant, thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the Cure.ai. So what's how are you seeing the growth on the Cure.ai given, you know, the Fractal Alpha segment loss has increased to 14 crores from in June 26 from 4 crores in June 25. So how is the growth in that particular segment and especially in Cure.ai segment plus in the Vidya Analytics segments? So that's my first question. And next question is on adjusted EBITDA margins. While we have grown from 15% to 18% on a YOY basis, so though marginally declined from the quarter 4 FY26 from 22% to 18%. So how are you seeing the 17% in quarter I think June 26. So how are you seeing the adjusted EBITDA margin growth trajectory? So as Srikant has mentioned that, you know, so that TMT has bottomed out. So can we see the EBITDA margin improvement also once you know that TMT segment will grow in upcoming quarters? So thank you. So these are my two questions.
Yeah, I can answer Srikant on the segment profitability. Fractal Alpha, which includes only Asper.ai and Analytics Vidya, that is the place where the loss is up from 4 crores to 14 crores. As I mentioned in my remark, it's mainly because of the investments that you're making in some of the products within Analytics Vidya. So that's what is driving it. If you again look at the last 4 years, our losses in Fractal Alpha segment has come down substantially as the revenue has been scaling up. And in this quarter specifically, as I mentioned, Asper revenue growth was flat, which should accelerate in the second half of the year because the annual recurring revenue has gone up by 59% in dollar terms in Asper. And there is always a timing gap between the revenue, the contract signing, and when the revenue starts getting recognized for these subscriptions. So once the Asper gets back to growth and analytics Vidya has also seen good growth in the first quarter, and that should continue. So with that, we expect the profitability to kind of keep improving how it was done historically. So that's a good indicator of what we can achieve in terms of the profitability in Fractal Alpha. Cure is a place, it's an associate company. We only consolidate 31.5% of our share of the losses. So there, as I mentioned, the revenue for Cure went up year-on-year basis by 160%. Losses in Cure was 22 crores last year. Our share of the loss, it was 23 crores this year, same quarter. Cure does have a big jump from first half of the year to second half of the year. We have also seen their backlog kind of go up quite substantially to 100 plus crores right now where they stand versus around 20 crores at the same time last year. So we've seen a big improvement in the revenue and also a big improvement in the backlog revenue that Cure has as of now. So with that, the Cure profitability situation should also be improving.
And just last point I want to mention here also is that our profitability in the first quarter is always a little lower than the following quarters. So just from a sequential basis, it's not a great comparison. And so our year over year is a better comparison, and we will see that year over year our profitability will continue to improve. So one of the questions that the most frequently asked questions at the time we went public was that, hey, your margins are inconsistent or not as, you know, and I always answered that by saying that we have very healthy gross margins. But over the last three earnings calls, we have also shown that our gross margins, our EBITDA margins, all of them are improving quarter over quarter. So we have become much more steady in terms of managing profitability. It's a muscle that we have built now, and we expect that profitability will continue to improve over the next few quarters as we continue to expand our growth. So that's really the best way to think about it.
Thank you, and all the best, Ashwath.
Thanks, Manish.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. That concludes the question and answer session. Before I hand the conference over to Anjali Garg from Fractal's Investor Relations team for closing comments, request Srikanth to share his final remarks.
Thank you, Inba. You know that the growth this quarter wasn't as high as we would like it to be. And excluding TMT, growth was much better. When you look past that number, you'll see that our clients are growing with us. They're deepening their relationship with us. Our margins are expanding. And our revenue mix is shifting towards more outcomes as well. Zoom out further and the tailwind gets better. We've seen that enterprises are moving AI into their core budget and the AI addressable spend is dramatically improving overall, which means that amazing days are ahead of us. We've never been more optimistic about where this business is going. The market in a lot of places is still making up its mind. What comes after that, we believe, is a much bigger version of the business that you're looking at today. And we look forward to building that and making you part of that growth journey for us. Thank you again for your trust that you've extended to us, and look forward to building Fractal along with you in the future. Back to you, Anjali.
Thank you, Srikanth. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. If you have any further questions, including any that we were unable to address during the call today, feel free to reach out to us at investorrelations@fractal.ai. We look forward to seeing you again next quarter. Thank you once again, and wish you a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. You may now click on the leave icon to exit the meeting. Goodbye.